It's only.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
I'm here, just kidding. I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for September 29th, episode 1008, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Glenn, I was messing with you. I made it back from cross-country schooling over the weekend.
I was a little concerned there for a minute.
Dead silence. Is she back? Did she make it? Yes, we made it. We made it there and back, and we'll fill you in on all the middle details. Because from what I understand, after reading Facebook, Glenn and I don't talk to each other over the weekend, so we can catch up on Monday and make it more exciting. So from what I understand by reading Facebook, Glenn, is you had an exciting pony weekend too. So I can't wait to get caught up on that as well. It should be...
We'll need a
sound effect?
You might. That guy. We'll see who came closer to death over the weekend.
Sounds good. Jennifer.
It's a new Monday segment. Who came closer to death? We need a bumper. We need a sponsor. Who can we get to sponsor that?
Oh, point two air vests. We will sponsor your who came closer to death.
Jerry's funeral home. At the corner of maintenance.
There you go. Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show besides who came closer to death?
Besides who came closer to death on today's Omega Alpha Equine, we start out with the last word in horse speak with Wiley, the Wiley voice of Horse Nation. And then we will finish with the first ever downtown Los Angeles horse show. I can't wait to find out how that went. And in between, we have plenty of harebrained horse adventures and headlines. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Well, my daily whinny has to go out to somebody who did very, very well in Hungary over the weekend. His name is Jacob Arnold. I think we've had him on our show here. He's been on the Driving Radio show many times. He is one of the youngest drivers in the United States. I think he's in his early 20s. And anytime we can celebrate a young driver that did something wonderful, we have to, because there aren't too many of young drivers on the team. He placed seventh place in the 2014 FEI World Driving Championships for singles in Hungary, which means driving one horse. He did very, very well. He actually won the marathon phase. And if you remember, with driving, is there's prize money for each phase. So that was nice. He won the marathon phase out of 74 horses. He took, of the 74 of the best drivers in the world, he took first place after marathon. And he did very well. He was one of only seven competitors to produce clear and cones on Sunday. And that put him in his seventh place finish. The United States placed 10th as a team. So congratulations to Jacob. We're going to hoping to get him on the Driving Radio show tomorrow to chat about that. We talked to him a couple weeks ago. He's a really, really neat kid. He works with Chester Weber as his coach, and he works for Chester Weber as a working groom. So he's got a lot of good experience there and has been training with some of the best drivers in the world over in Europe. So we're hoping good things for Jacob Arnold in the future, and congratulations. I know his parents, too, and they're super nice people, live here in Florida. So congratulations, Jacob.
Cool. Well, being that I am always that girl, it's nice when I see other people being that girl. And the That Girl Award and my daily Winnie goes out to a girl named Avery Klunick. And I mean, unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen her not online all weekend. She was at the AECs this past weekend, which is the American Eventing Championships. And it was in Texas this year. And Avery was doing, I don't know if it was prelim or intermediate, and she was on show jumping, and she was cantering around, and her horse was jumping great, and they were looking awesome, and then all of a sudden, at fence 9, her horse, in it to win it, which is just ironic as hell, in it to win it, enjoyed a smooth round until fence 9, he decided to slam on the brakes. He slammed on the brakes so hard that the momentum caused Avery to go straight up his neck. You know how when they slam on the brakes, you get thrown forward? Well,
yep.
when she got thrown forward, she pulled his bridle off. The whole freaking bridle. Now, she's in a hackamore, but one of those big, fancy, you know, rolled nose, cottony hackamore things. And in it to win it, then turns around and trots away. And she's got a bridle, and she's, like, pulling back on. You have to watch the video. So apparently, at some point, while she was over by the crowd, she said he was a really good boy. He just let me push myself back on. Avery said, and then I wasn't sure what to do. I looked at the people by the arena and asked if anyone could help me. And they said, we can't if you want to continue. So Tammy Smith, who we've had on the show a million times, looked at her and goes, put it back on. So she reaches forward, puts her bridle back on, finishes the whole course, and finishes and completes. Now, I love Mona Wheeler posted on our Horses in the Morning Auditors Facebook page that she wins the DFL award. And you guys know that I won the DFL award last time, which is dead, beeping last. But you didn't get eliminated. So she said she was waiting for them to buzz her out because the time, but the time just kept ticking. So she ended up with like 117 was her score. So she,
I got to tell you, I watched the video. I was shocked. She's not a big girl, tall girl. So, and her horse is pretty big. So she had all she could to reach over and put that bridle back on that horse.
Yeah.
And thank God it was a hackamore. I'm not sure she would have got the bit in the mouth.
That was such a great save. So it's worth the watch. I just posted it on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. It links over to Eventing Nation, and it was just, it's a really cool video. So Glenn was asking me, he's like, so anything from the AECs? And I'm like, well, the only thing was anybody talked about was this after the whole weekend. So we need to get her on, see if we can get her on to talk about it, because it's really awesome. And to do it in front of that huge crowd and all those people. She is, like, the most popular eventer on the planet right now.
Yes, that's true. And it was amazing because her horse seemed to be doing well. And then after, you know, I don't know why he stopped there, but he just did. And then after she put the bridle back on, he jumped like a trooper. He didn't miss a step. Yeah.
He didn't miss a step before or after. Yeah, it was really a bizarre stop, and she was totally a pro. It was great.
How many are those popular now? That type of hackamore?
A lot of people love to go bitless. You guys know I've ridden Jet. I wore a hackamore on him much like that one on trail rides because if he was relaxed enough on a trail ride to graze, I would like him to graze. And then the one ride where he decided he wanted to go home and I was in a hackamore, I retired the hackamore. I was like, we're going to get home a lot faster than I want, and I don't have a bit. But a lot of people do like those. I gave up on mine. I tried. And
you got to know and trust your horse to put that baby on.
Yep.
Well, before we get to our stories from the weekend, I wanted to mention that last night I listened to the first hour of it, was the Templeton Thompson charity concert for Sandy Lovato, and it went very well. The sound was really good, and I could hear it, and they seemed like there was a large crowd. Uta, our listener, was there, and she took pictures, and I posted one of them on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. She said there was a big crowd, and she said the energy was really good. I had an opportunity to talk to Frankie on Friday on the phone, first time since his wife died, and we had a nice long conversation. I did tell him I was concerned about Popcorn, who, by the way, apparently enjoyed the concert greatly, and
really?
During her last song, Girls and Horses, provided some backup. So that was appropriate. And he was right there, apparently a big hit over the weekend. I told Frankie I was a little concerned that Popcorn would blow up like a balloon because Sandy was the one that kept Frankie from feeding him too much. And Frankie told me that he hears Sandy in his mind all the time saying, "Don't you overfeed that pony." So apparently he's got that, so he's not going to be overfeeding the pony. But cute as heck, the little pony. You can see it in the picture I posted this morning.
It's adorable. And you know who's also adorable is Frankie. I don't think I've seen him standing next to other people, and he's a jockey.
he's adorable. And that's actually, I don't remember him having the goatee. Maybe he always has, but I don't remember the goatee. But they had a great time. We're going to do this. They are sending me the sound file from the concert, and we're going to post it as a special episode of Horses in the Morning a little later today. So you'll be able to hear the whole concert. It was almost 2 hours long. So you'll be able to hear the whole concert here on Horses in the Morning if you missed it live last night. So we'll be posting it on our feed. So it'll be on your app on your phone. It'll be on the website. Wherever you normally listen to Horses in the Morning, you can take a listen to the concert. We did a great job. All right. Who's telling their story first?
Well, I think from what I understand, you came closer to death than I did, so I'll go first because
okay.
This is the segment now called Who Came Closer to Death? So go ahead. For everybody, I took Edward cross country schooling. Now, we're trying to be more prepared for our next horse trial than we were for the last horse trial, which I decided like 2 weeks out to take him, and it was a little quick for his little brain to handle a competition, and we did win the DFL award, but we didn't finish. But this time I'm like, they have it open for schooling. I'm going to go school the course, even though it's 3.5 hours one way to get there. We're going to school it, and we're going to get it done, and he's going to be so much better after that last, you know, competition where he really learned a lot, I feel like, you know, he just got an over-the-airwaves adjustment this week by getting read by a psychic, and I'm feeling incredibly confident. So, Glenn, go ahead, play it. Just play it.
I've been waiting.
I don't want to be that girl.
That
so, yeah, that's the one. So we get them all loaded up, and I took Joey, who is my little rescue lesson pony and lesson horse. He's a thoroughbred, and Abby took him, and then we took the pony, Jacob, and Rachel. It's Rachel's pony. And so we all went down there. We met a group, and there we had our first ride was going to go at 9, and then the adults were going to ride at 9, which was going to be me, my friend Teresa, Amanda, and Sarah. And then the girls, we're going to do their beginner novice stuff later. And I was hoping to school a little novice, maybe jump a training fence. Like I was geared up and ready. And I got out there. I get him tacked up. He's tied into the trailer fine. He's like super calm. He's with his buddies. He gets turned out with a pony. Life is good. He's confident. I get on him. We walk all the way out to cross country. And he loses his gourd. Gone ski. We were half a mile away from the trailer. I'm trying to trot circles. And every time I trotted in the direction of the trailer, which again is like maybe 3/4 of a mile away, he takes off, trying to gallop back to the trailer. So if you've seen the people that are trotting their horse and the horse bolts, sideways, galloping, sideways, 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 and they get him turned around, I kick him forward, and I get 3/4 of a circle. I'm like, okay, he's relaxing. Back towards the trailer, boom, boom, gallop, 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 sideways, sideways, sideways. kick him around. Chad actually said to me, he goes, I'm getting really sick of you being on the crazy one. He's like, and I said, you're getting sick of it. How the hell do I feel? He was like, you're always on the crazy one. I'm like, they eventually get sane. It just takes a considerably long amount of time. So I'm like, you know, there's just no, and to the adults were like, I could see them over there talking because they're all warmed up and ready. And my horse is trying to run back to the trailer. So I could see a conference taking place without me as I'm trying to get my horse back to the group. And one of the girls looks up and goes, hey, Jamie, how about you ride with the kids? So I was removed from the adult group.
You had to sit at the kids' table?
I had to sit at the kids' table. I was basically uninvited from riding with the adults. I had to do the walk of shame back to the trailer, and I wish it was a walk. I had to do the jig of shame all the way back to the trailer, and it was very sad. And so the adults went on without me. I had to get him untacked. He was, of course, totally lathered and sweaty, and I'd been on him like 12 minutes, of course, you know. And so, jig of shame back to the trailer. I tied him up, and I had to wait 2 hours until the next group went. And he was still crazy, and he was still jigging, but I was able to jump him because he was with his buddies. He was with the pony. He was with Joey, you know, and they're all jumping the pre-comp, beginner novice. So we stuck with just beginner novice. There was no training fences in my day. There was no novice fences in my day. There was pre-comp and then novice and beginner novice. So we didn't get to jump quite as big as I was hoping, and we didn't get quite as much done as I was hoping. But we went in the water and we went down banks, and that was about as exciting as it got. So there you go. That's my day. I was bumped and left to ride with the kids. But we had a great time.
So, now, Mike, see, I think, I've gotten to know you over 1,000 episodes pretty well. And I am just wondering if now you can be honest here, nobody's listening. And your husband never listens, so we're good. I'm just wondering if this is some devilish plan. You know, being kind-hearted and adopting these horses that you get, because they're starving, neglected, abused cases from the sheriff's department, and then you go out and do this. I'm wondering if this isn't some subtle way of encouraging your husband to agree to let you buy the $25,000 made Aventor.
You know, and I actually brought that up.
I think it's been a plan all along myself. It's just taken years to get it to this point.
When he said that, he was like, I'm tired of you riding the crazy ones. I'm sick of it. I was like, you're sick of it. And so when I jigged my way back to the trailer, of course, the baby is in the stroller, and he's like basically jogging behind me to try to keep up with Edward's thing. And we get back to the trailer, and that's when he says, I'm sick of this. And I said, you're sick of it. I said, there you go, honey. This could be the moment that we write that check. Let's just write a check for a $50,000 event horse, and I won't have to deal with this SHI poop anymore. He goes, I just want you to have fun. I just want you to have fun. That just didn't look like it was any fun. And I'm like, well, the fun comes later. I'm like, eventually he'll get better, and he'll be fine, and it'll be fun. And it is fun,
or not.
And, you know, to see him. He's like, it's not fun. He's like, I don't like watching this. He's like, I know that you're thinking you could die right now. And he's like, I don't like seeing that.
You know, so, I actually said the same thing to Jennifer. You brought back memories there, because 30 years ago when I was in his position, being the new husband, Jennifer was riding the same horses that you're riding now. And
yep.
You're right. From my point of view, it did not look like fun. We didn't have the $50,000 to buy the other one. And eventually Jennifer did take half these horses, to the point where, you know, she ended up selling them to high-level eventers, and they ended up doing wonderful things with them. And see, that's the problem when you're at the level that you're at and that we were at, is once you get a horse that has the potential of becoming an advanced horse, you sell it for big bucks because you need the money. So, you know, you never have that opportunity to go on and ride the advanced horse yourself. And I always felt bad about that, too, with Jennifer, because I think she could have. Although she didn't like the size of the fences when he got to, like, Rolex level. That was never
Yeah. Well, who does? Those people are crazy. But the thing is, Glenn, and that's what I try to tell Chad, is I enjoy this part. You know, aside from the near death, but, like, you know, when they're that crazy, it's not super fun. But it does, like, with Jet, you know, he was cray-cray, you know, and that's what I told Chad. I'm like, you know, Edward is not mean-spirited. Jet had some moments where I'm like, he really wants to hurt me. Like, he wants to buck me off and run away. Edward doesn't do that. Edward just, he internalizes everything, and he gets very, very nervous internally, and he gets very scared, and he jigs, and he gets crazy, but he doesn't try to kill me, where Jet had moments, but you know what? Jet is like the easiest horse to ride now because I stuck with him. And like you said, I don't have the means to buy a $50,000 made event horse. So you know what? I'm going to make a $50,000 horse. I remember Barb Crabo saying to me, she's like, you need a better saddle. And before, you know, I had the Southern Stars saddle. She's like, you need a better saddle. You need to get it. And I'm like, yeah, she's sponsored by Devaku, and like I'm going to be able to afford a brand new Devaku jump saddle. And I said, Barb, this is my $400 thoroughbred. And she goes, yes, but you don't ride him like he's a $400 thoroughbred. You ride him like he's a $10,000 event horse. And you're right. And that, and I was like, oh, that's a really good point. You know, Edward is not a $900 rescue from Cantor. He is now, he's my guy. He's my $10,000 beginner novice horse. And that's, I'm sticking to that. So we can't afford to buy him. By God, we got to make him. And somebody's got to get these, you know, somebody's got to give these horses a job, by God. And someday, you know what? I told Chad, I said, one day what we're going to do is after my body is broken and done and I'm tired of riding these crazy off-the-track thoroughbreds and I'm 60 years old, I said, that's when we're going to have been saving up money and we need to start an account right now, because that, when I'm 60 years old, is when we import my PRE Andalusian from Spain. That's when I start dressage.
A broke one.
a high school trained Spanish walking, piaffing, and massaging Andalusian from Spain. By God, that's what I'm going to have. We better start saving now because it's going to be expensive.
All right, go ahead and play the sound file. It's my turn.
You give me a second.
I think you might have gotten closer. I don't know. You had. I don't know. That sounded pretty harrowing.
Okay, so tell me, give me a brief synopsis of what you did over the weekend.
All right, well, we took My Little Pony driving. That'll help you. My Little Pony.
There you go.
So,
carry on.
So every weekend, I really look forward to, on either Saturday or Sunday morning or both, we go out on a trail ride around the neighborhood, and I take my pony out in the cart, and Jennifer rides along on Beaker, and we walk and trot, and it's very quiet, and there's nothing going on in the hood at that point. So, it was a beautiful morning, Sunday morning, a little warm. We head out, and the pony, Scooter's being a little bit sluggish, and, you know, he's not an overly energetic pony when you're driving him. So, I keep having to get him to walk on and try and get a faster walk. We've determined that if he was in a dressage test, they would have to have a very slow walk. Instead of that speedy walk they do in dressage tests, we need the pokey walk, because that's pretty much him. Yeah, he just, there's no extension there at all. So he's just plodding along, and we're having fun, and, you know, it's the usual Sunday morning. And then we cross the road, we're going around our big block. It's very quiet in our neighborhood. It's a horsey community, right? There's 350 horse farms here. And virtually no traffic, and we're trotting, and I said, well, let's just trot up this section. There's a little hill, and, you know, when I say in Florida, little hill, I mean little hill. So we're trotting along, and all of a sudden,
stop.
Yep.
Okay.
I start trotting the pony, and we pass Beaker. Now, Beaker's usually in front because the pony looks at him as kind of a comfort thing, and that's Scooter's training wheels, is Beaker being out in front there. Well, I decided, I'm going to just trot past Beaker, and he's been doing so good, and I was just sort of half paying attention because he's been doing so good, and we're trotting, and then all of a sudden, he just takes off. I heard a commotion to the left, And he rears up and takes off like a rocket and bolted. And he bolted into the left lane of the road. Thank God there wasn't something coming or we'd have been on their hood and over the car probably at the speed he was going. But he bolted, and I haven't had a horse bolt with me in 20 years in the cart. It's been about 20 years. Last Hackney I had. So he bolted, and I am trying to stop him. Well, I am standing up. You know how the carts have that little angled piece where you put your feet? Well, I am standing. That's why they have that, is so that when something like this happens, you can put your feet on it and you can lean back on the reins. Well, that wasn't doing a thing. By the way, ponies are strong. So he is flying down the road at this point and heading towards the side of the road where the trees and the ditch are. And I'm going, this is not going to be good. I knew I had to stay in the cart because you've seen what happens when people fall out of the cart and the horse is still bolting with the cart attached. Nothing good comes of that.
So it's what I tell horse people, like, never bail. It's always going to be bad if you bail. There's a chance it might not be bad if you don't bail. But this is, in a cart, I don't know what I would do. You can't stop your pony.
Well, that's the thing. He was gone. Whatever he had heard spooked him to the point where his mind shut off and he was gone. And you don't know what it was. Yes, we do. Actually, what happened was there was a farm on the left that's all full of trees. And there are two horses there. Jennifer told me this later because she was riding behind me watching all this. There were two horses at the top of the hill over there, and they came running down through the trees to the fence when they saw us. They came galloping down. Well, it made all the noise from the woods, which sounded like, I'm sure, a bear, you know. So the pony took off. I went through a series of things, you know, that happened very quickly, but when you think about them later, it seemed like slow motion. I tried pulling straight back. Well, that didn't work. And I managed to turn him a bit so he wasn't heading toward the trees anymore. And so now we were heading toward our side of the road. I heard a car coming up behind us, too, and I was thinking, well, I hope he doesn't do anything stupid at this point. And I tried the zigzag, you know, the reins back and forth, and because that's what you're supposed to do. Well, Seesaw, yep, and that wasn't working. So I realized then I heard Jennifer yell something in the back that sort of sounded like seesaw, and I thought, well, I'm going to do it slower. And I finally started just, you know, doing it strong and slower as we're still bolting down the road. And, you know, at this point he's heading towards the other direction and the yards with all the trees and landscaping. And I managed after a bit to do enough seesawing, and I finally said, I've been saying whoa the whole time, I finally said walk. And I said walk very calmly a couple times, and he heard that, and I could see his switch go back. I could see him regain consciousness, and then he, you know, once he heard walk, I could see the light go on, and then he started to slow down a little bit, and I managed to get him down then with very slow back and forth with the rain. But I got off the road at that point. I heard Jennifer still trotting up behind, and the pony, as soon as he heard the trotting behind him, bolted again. Took off again at the point we were in the yards. I got him stopped much quicker that time. And Jennifer said, I'm going to go. I couldn't get out. You can't get out of the cart. If you have somebody in the cart, that's when they jump out and head the pony. But we couldn't do that either because Jennifer was on a horse. And her horse had caused the last bolt. So she went wide around him and then came up in front of him, and we managed to get him calmed down. But I was shaking when we were done with that. It could have gone very bad, very bad.
Oh, my gosh.
And then the guy passed us, pulled up behind us, and it was our next-door neighbor, who we know very well. He's an Irish guy who trains. He breaks thoroughbreds for the racetrack. And I had a little conversation on text with him later in the day. I said, well, you saw that. And he said, I'm impressed you got that pony stopped. Apparently he didn't think we were ever stopping. So he was
stopping without a serious issue at the end of it. I mean, I don't know what I would do. I mean, that's got to be such a helpless feeling to be stuck in the car. You know, at least if I'm sitting on him, I've been run away with one time where I couldn't stop him. And the horse just finally decided to stop. And it was when I was on the racetrack at Keeneland. And so that's embarrassing enough, you know. Yeah, I was supposed to I was supposed to go from point A to point B at a slow gallop, and we went from point A to point B as fast as that horse has ever run in his life. So eventually they just stop, you know, on the track. But I don't know, you know, with being in a cart, I don't know how you would get them to stop without having a big accident.
Well, one of the things they say to do, and this takes a lot of faith, is one of the things they say to do is point them toward a solid object like a wall or a building, something very solid. And then you hope your horse has some self-preservation instinct. If he doesn't, you're going to both die. But, if he does, he's going to pull up before he hits the solid object. I've never had the guts to do that. That takes a certain amount of guts to do that. But I've never had the guts to do that. This is, you know, the other thing, too, is these things, you were kind of prepared for it. I wasn't. This caught me totally. Yeah. I was like, we were half sleeping, you know, driving along. I was trotting him, but we were, you know, fairly loose reins. And I wasn't paying attention that much because everything was fine. And then all of a sudden these horses come down. So we got some desensitization training to do with loud noises and things behind him. He's very bad about that. But it is, I was shaking. That's the first time I've been shaking after, you know, driving in a long, long time. long time.
So is there anything that you do next time? Do you change the bit? Do you just stay more focused? Do you
there
have
was no
to
bit,
do
no,
some?
No, that was going to stop him there. You know, the next time I know what to do, you know, I know how to handle the back and forth and to react a little quicker. You know,
it took Glenn 50 yards just to get his reins back.
Yes.
Yeah.
You get no head. Because one of the things they do when they do that is pull their head up. Well, you got no head, you know. So, I had no contact at all for at least 50 yards. And then the other thing is it takes that long for your mind to process, what the hell's happening here? And then it's also thinking at the same time, why the hell did this just happen? You know, why am I here? Okay, I better deal with this now. So, yeah, it was interesting. I do wear my helmet still, by the way, every time I drive. So I was in my helmet. That wouldn't have helped the broken body parts that I would have gotten had I been tumbled out. The other thing you guys can do, too, when a horse is bolting, and Jennifer's done this many times, is you try and get them to turn in a circle. You try and get them to slow down by turning their head and getting them to turn in a circle. You can't do that in a carriage. That will flip your carriage over. So you can't turn them tight. If you go to turn them tight, the carriage is going over and you're flying out. You're gone then. So, and then you have your horses down and you really got problems. So I don't know. I know now that I'll react a little quicker next time. And as Jennifer said, the only chance you get to practice this is by it happening. And then you learn from it and you know the next time a little quicker what you can do. And you just hope that the car isn't coming in the other lane when that happens. That's where we're
going. Glenn survived the first ever real honest to goodness bolt.
I didn't draw today on the death thing. I think we were both. My little pony. My little pony.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm glad you made it safe and sound. I'm glad you survived. I'm glad I survived. And we need to find out if Leslie Wiley survived the weekend, and we're going to have her on in just a second. But let's hear from our sponsor, Omega Alpha Equine Blood.
I'm connected to the shoulder bone. The shoulder bone connected to the leg bone. The leg bone connected to the foot
bone. The leg bone connected to the foot bone is a humorous reminder of how things are connected and dependent upon each other. But all humor aside, the health of your horse's muscles and bones are key to his overall health and performance. At Omega Alpha Equine, they know just how important your horse's entire musculoskeletal system is to his health and happiness, so they offer a variety of different all-natural liquid supplements. Omega Alpha Equine, all-natural supplements based on science to help all of your horse's connected parts stay healthy and perform at their best. Ask for Omega Alpha Equine supplements at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Horses, the ultimate frontier. These are the adventures of Horse Nation. Its weekly mission, to explore strange equestrian behaviors and to exploit horse humor in the wacky world of horses.
And we welcome her this morning, Leslie Wiley. Good morning.
How's it going?
Fantastic. Did you survive your weekend? I had a harrowing cross-country adventure. Glenn got run away with. Anything exciting happen to you?
No, I was in California on vacation last week, so I got back to, flew back home on Saturday and had a, uneventful Sunday. So, nope, all the
And by the way, Leslie, let's give Leslie a belated one of these.
Happy birthday! Yay!
Congrats! Yeah, happy birthday! And how hungover are you? Because weren't you in like Napa Valley?
Oh yeah, I might move out there. I think that I've found my place in the world. Wine everywhere.
You know, you were gone, and some of, I think, my favorite, not that it's anything to do with you, but some of my favorite Horse Nation articles were posted while you were gone, I think, of
yeah.
all time.
I know, me too. Carla Lake's our weekend editor, and she killed it this weekend. She just, like, kept them coming.
Yeah, she really okay. did. So tell us what you missed, what you came back to.
What did I miss? I had the best time catching up on my Horse Nation. I felt like a reader. we had another poem by
yes.
Amanda Ronan, our official Horse Nation's official bad poet. And
so
I
got to tell you.
I want the official bad dramatic reading. So don't think you're getting out of that one. But Glenn, what were you saying?
I was going to say this poem so fits our weekend.
Everything we just talked about.
All right, let's
hear it. So good. Okay, this one. So I think I did a dramatic reading was it last week or the week before of Amanda's 10 Things I Hate About Horses. But this one is titled, I always Want the Bad Horse. The downtrodden and sometimes ring-rotten, the ones who buck and the ones who rear, the ones who bolt and are full of fear. Because bad is not worthless. Nothing could be further from the truth. Bad just means misunderstood, broken, and sometimes abused. Bad horses are quirky. That's a simple fact. They can be jerks if you don't ease up or take a step back. So next time you see a bad horse, send him my way. Because bad horses need riders, too, and a whole lot of love at the end of the day.
Oh, my Aww. God.
That's
Glenn,
isn't that so
this
sweet?
Is exactly what I was just talking about 5 minutes ago, Leslie. If you go back and listen to the show, I mean, I was saying that bad horse, like, these guys need riders, too. Somebody's got to teach
yeah.
them, you know.
Yeah.
Well, hold on, guys. Before you get too carried away, let's not
see,
forget.
There are some horses even God can't help.
okay, there are a few, but.
By the way, Leslie, that sound file was given to us by a chaplain at a racetrack. He actually said that. He was like, there are some horses God can't help. And it's
that
very true.
Hilarious.
That's awesome, though. Glad that the ones who bolt and the ones who are full of fear, which is my horse. That's
yep.
great, Leslie.
Got us all
great
covered
poem.
Here, Leslie.
That's hilarious. Hilarious. Yeah. That's great. Now, I think my favorite Horse Nation article ever is how to explain your discipline to confused onlookers. Because what they start out with here is you say you're walking through the grocery store in your riding boots, and here comes the moment. Hey, you race horses? Like, no. Every horse sport is not racing. And so you try to explain it, and please, give us some examples.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, absolutely. I get that all the time. So they're like, so you race horses. No. So the one, you know, I always have to explain, what do you do? You know, and where I live, they always assume that you ride a Tennessee walking horses. Like, that's
yeah.
the most common assumption. So when I say eventing, it kind of blows their mind, and they get this confused look on their face. And so my typical response is, you know, I try and explain. You have to dumb everything down for these people, these non-horsey people.
Oh, yeah.
So I was trying to explain eventing as kind of like triathlon for horses. That's my go-to explanation.
I say that
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
And then you get the inevitable, horses swim. No, I'm not swimming them. Or you say dressage, like, what's dressage? And I'm like, it's kind of like, you have to do a pattern, like in ice skating, you know, you have to do all the pattern at a certain time. And they're like, oh, horses wear skates? Like, oh, come on,
yeah.
You idiot.
Sometimes,
okay.
Yeah, sometimes I just give up. I'm just like, there's no, I'm just going to, sometimes I just say, we jump jumps. We jump over
yes.
things.
We
like
jump things as fast as we can sometimes. Whatever.
Well, I love the fox hunting.
Because,
I love the fox
yeah.
hunting one here. Can I read that? The horses
oh,
chase
yeah.
the hounds that are chasing the fox that is running around in circles laughing at us. Jennifer, you've had that happen a few thousand times on fox hunts.
You can hear that fox laughing. You can hear it. I love this one. Show hunters. Despite the fact that everyone looks nearly identical, each rider is trying to make their horse stand out to the judge on the flat and over a course that is loosely inspired by hunting obstacles. The judge pins the class based on a number of subjective mystery factors that no one really understands, such as the overall picture of the pair presents, how well the horse and rider makes it up for each other's mistakes, and which horses seem like they were imported from Europe. That's it.
Yeah.
I love too the equitation
and whose
that follows.
Parents are buying dinner tonight. That's
yeah. I know. Sadly, it's true. Pretty similar equitation is pretty similar to hunter classes, except judge on the rider's performance more than the horse. Possibly even more subjective mystery factors are involved here, such as which type of Charles Owen helmet you have, and whether the pink lining of your show jacket would make George Morris cry or not.
I love the fact that you've got four identical riders and identical outfits. I love that picture. Identical.
Very
you know,
true.
When you think about it, when you watch those classes, it is true. It's like, what? I mean, what? They're all the same.
Yeah. You know what? I grew up showing hunters, Leslie, and at some point, I got to where wearing my brother's Sunday school coat was not cutting it anymore. I needed an actual show jacket. Yeah, that was me.
That's so cute.
I love the show jumping. Jumping everything as fast as possible while trying to leave all the rails up and avoid dying. So true.
Yep.
That's great. Well, you guys, we got to post a link to that because that is one of my favorite articles that I've ever seen. And finally, I know we've got one called Equine Euphemisms, and I wasn't quite sure what that meant until I clicked on it. And it is kind of an article about what we do, a segment every Friday called Really Bad Ads, Leslie. And what we do is Glenn and I read really bad ads about horse sales, that the way that they're written. So we
yeah.
interpret them the way that we think that the person should was thinking it when they wrote it. And so you've actually, Glenn, when we do the segment, you know, like read between the lines,
yep,
they have
yep.
come up with the read between the lines part of it. Like, for example, the first one is horse is very athletic. What that means is that he can buck, bolt, bite, rear, kick all at the same time.
Yeah.
Well, totally, yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, Leslie. Sorry.
Yeah. These are all, and this. So this is part two of this series. Actually, she did she came up with one list earlier in the weekend and then sort of sent a call out to readers saying, you know, what are some of, you know, read between the line kind of phrases that they sound really nice, but we all know that they mean something different.
I got to tell you guys, I was looking at this post and the video you put up, this is so damn funny. The video you put up, it's jump through fence, horse breaks free. And it's this video of this horse running around a paddock with three board fencing around it. And there's this girl standing in the middle of the paddock. I don't know if she was thinking she was free lunging or trying to catch up. I don't know what she was doing with the horse. But the horse decides he's gone and turns around and runs through, over and through the wooden gate, breaks it into a million pieces. But the thing that was so funny about this video, as soon as he does that, the girl looks around at the camera person, which I would assume is her mother or father, with this look like, you bought me this horse? I mean, she just has this look on her face like, I cannot believe this. And then she takes off after the horse, but she had to get the glare in first. It was so funny.
That was a great look. It was a great look. And the horse, while trotting around, is a very impressive trotter. Not such an impressive jumper.
No, it didn't do
it. Doesn't really get off the ground very well.
You know how we always say, I can't believe horses stay in these fences. If they really wanted to get out of these fences, they could just walk through them. This one did.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's a very funny video. And she's trying to lunge it, and she's, because she's chasing it with a whip. So you do notice the whip in her hand.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't see it before.
That horse is like, peace out. I am done with this. I love it. I love it. Well, that's on horsenation.com. You got to go check it out. They're all very funny. Kudos to your weekend reporter here and your weekend editor for getting such great things, because it was very, I was reading Horse Nation all weekend.
She is so funny. We love her. She is a gem.
Well, Leslie, tell us real quick, what was the highlight of your trip to California for your birthday?
Oh my goodness. I had so much fun. I think the highlight was probably meeting my new niece. My sister had a baby this summer and have not been out to see her yet. So she was super tiny and adorable, and so that was amazing. And then we did a day in San Francisco, and then we did a day in wine country, and it was all just amazing.
I
go ahead, Glenn, ask her.
Yeah, well, I'm going to say that about June of next year, we're going to need a substitute for Leslie for a little while, for about 4 to 6 weeks.
Nope, don't worry about that. I like babies for about half an hour at a time, and then I like to hand them off back.
That's
them.
The way they
belong
too.
To.
Leslie, no. See, what happens is that women who have kids, they try to sucker everybody else into having kids, so they, because misery loves company, and that's, I'm pretty sure. So what I would like to tell you is, whole pregnancy thing is easy, the having the baby's easy, the raising the child is easy, you know, it's a piece of cake, and you should totally do it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I am lying to you right now.
Yep. Yep.
So what was your favorite winery that you went to? Because Chad and I went to one, and we loved the BV winery we went to. We loved it. And so we always try to buy the BV wines. But did you have one that was your favorite?
We went to the Hess Collection winery.
Uh-huh.
They had like a modern art museum and like a wine tasting room. So you could sort of like take a glass of wine and wander around and look at the cool art. And that was really cool. That was in Napa. But I mean, they're just everywhere you look. I think if we had gone, we would have, a friend of ours, who is a sommelier, set us up with a tour there. But, you know, left to our own devices, I think we would have, I mean, there's just so many places to go, so many wineries. We would have just been aimless. So we're glad to get pointed in that direction.
That's awesome. Well, cool. Well, cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us a little bit earlier. I know this is a little bit earlier than normal, but we do appreciate it. And I'm glad you had fun. And I'm glad you got a break and you didn't have to go to the AECs. But please tell me that you've seen Avery's Bridalist Save.
No, you know, I actually have not. Is it on? But it's on Eventing
it's on
Nation, huh?
It's on Eventing
Nation.
Yep.
Nation. Okay. I just posted the link to the Eventing Nation article on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, and girl, you got to watch it. This is one. The only reason that I can think of to have a Hackmore is just in case.
Okay, I will look it up right now.
Okay, please do. Well, have a great day, Leslie.
And Leslie,
so
don't
us.
Forget next week, Tuesday. Tuesday, you're on next week.
Yeah. Changing looking
schedule.
Forward
okay.
to it.
All right, sounds good. All right, thanks, Leslie.
Okay. All righty, bye.
HorseNation.com. So entertaining.
Well, let's do this. Let's take a break for, we're going to hear about the Horsewoman's Challenge coming up this weekend. And by the way, Mary Miller Jordan, who's been on our show 2 weeks in a row now, we talked to her about taking one of her horses, or the horse that she was training for, the American Horsewoman's Challenge, there this weekend in Oklahoma. And she announced on Friday that she's had to pull out of the American Horsewoman's Challenge. Remember, we just had her on as a celebrity on Wednesday.
Yeah.
She said, to begin with, Dance and I have to draw out of the American Horsewoman's Challenge. It was a difficult decision, but it's clearly the right one. He has healed from a splint on his left front. But when on stall rest and small paddock turnout, he developed a tendon strain on the front right. Thankfully, it is mild and it is healing, but it is there and he's not 100% sound on it. And thank you for being a true horsewoman, Mary, and for not bringing him and risking a further injury that would put him out of commission altogether. Because as you know, anytime you're dealing with tendons and it's just can be a mess. So, we're glad that she decided to do that. She was very sad she wasn't going to get to go to this first Horsewoman's Challenge, but there are 39 others going, and we're going to hear about them. And then I have one of the songs that Templeton sung last night. I recorded it off the radio, so the quality's not totally great, but it's one of the songs, her song Beautiful Day, that she sang at the concert last night for Sandy Lovato. So we'll take a listen to that as well. The entire concert will be up later today on the Horses in the Morning feed, so you'll get it right on our website or on the app. So let's take a listen.
Don't miss the first ever American Horsewoman's Challenge. 40 of the top female horse trainers in North America compete for $28,000 in cash and prizes. It's 3 days of intense competition, demonstrations by top clinicians Linda Pirelli, Julie Goodnight, Aton, and others. Plus, the Extreme Cowboy Race with Craig Cameron. Tickets start at just $80 and are available through Ticketmaster. Don't miss the American Horsewoman's Challenge, October 3rd, 4th, and 5th at the Lazy E Arena in Guthrie, Oklahoma.
Thank y'all.
Thank y'all. Let's go. Beautiful day. And it is gorgeous out here. I'm
That was Templeton Thompson at the concert last night in Ohio, and Templeton will also be at the Horsewoman's Challenge this weekend in Oklahoma. So if you're attending that this weekend, you'll be able to find her there. I am Glenn the Geek, and I am joined by Jamie Jennings today, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair. And, of course, you're listening to Horses in the Morning today, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. For the finest in all natural products, visit OmegaAlphaEquine.com. And a programming note, we got a normal week this week, but next week we are going to be changing the schedule up a little bit. Jamie will be coming to you with Emily doing the once-a-month jumping show. That'll be on Monday of next week, and then Wendy and I will be hosting on Tuesday live from the World Percheron Congress. So we just have that change to make next week. And next week also, you're going to be in Oklahoma on Monday, so we're going to be all over the place next week.
Yeah, this is Oklahoma City, the Horsewoman's Challenge. I'm going to be just south of Oklahoma City all weekend visiting with the in-laws.
Well, you'll have to take a ride up. When you get sick of being with family, just take a ride up.
That's a great idea. Hey, guys, I got to go do some work for Horses in the Morning. So I got to go to the Templeton Thompson concert. I take the baby. I'll be back.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Here's the baby. Here's my husband. I'll see you next tomorrow.
Yeah, sounds good. Sounds good. Bye, guys.
We are, what was the other programming note I had? Totally lost. Oh, I wanted to remind people.
Oh, I'm going to be doing the jumper show on Monday.
That's right. You're doing the jumper show on Monday, and then Wendy and I we also, you've been shirking your duty here, because on Wednesday I'm going to be flying back from the World Percheron Congress in Massachusetts, and you have to find an auditor to do a show with. So forget that.
You need to track down
an auditor. Yeah, you need an auditor co-host, so you better get to work on that. That's next week.
Hey, send me an email if you want to be a co-host, and then we'll just pick one. Oh, my gosh, we got to do this fast. So, Jamie at HorseRadioNetwork.com, if you want to be a co-host next Wednesday, and we'll just have a girl power show, because Jennifer will be here, right?
Yes, Jennifer will be there, yep. So you don't have to run the whole show by yourself. There's a little panic there.
Her job's easy. Whatever, I can do it.
We have on occasion had to do the show without her, and it is such a pain in the neck. to do everything. We have
really
had that
is.
Occasion. So, yeah, but we're just waiting for our next guest to get situated here. Was there anything else we needed to cover? Did want to say is, if you want to play on the Wednesday Celebrity Trivia, we have a sign up on the website. We don't mention this very often, but if you want to be one of the players, the way we pick them is you just sign up. There's a little form, takes 2 seconds to fill out, send it in, and then we just pick a person every week to play. So out of the pile of people that send in their entries, so if you do want to play, just go to horsesinthemorning.com and follow the banner in the middle of the page.
I'm reading the post that Jennifer posted on Facebook, and she wrote, "Poor Edward was demoted to the kids group at cross country schooling." And she said, "Have you ever been demoted at a clinic?" And somebody wrote, "I've been kicked out of a few schooling rings before." Catherine Butler, that's hilarious, because I have been that guy too.
You know,
I
when
never
you're kicked
forget.
Out of the schooling ring, that the rest of the day is not going well.
No. And so I actually had to write a paper in high school on my most embarrassing moment. And someday I'll share it with you when we have some time on the paper that I wrote in high school, like my senior whatever paper was a most embarrassing moment was on something that happened to me at a horse show. So someday
it wasn't Leonardo DiCaprio and ruining your romance forever.
That's my current most embarrassing moment. My high school, but I didn't meet Leo in high school. So, you know, I've had plenty since then. And you notice that my other boyfriend, George Clooney, got married over the weekend. So.
Yeah, I did notice that. I was going to say something. You've lost two of them now. You got a good husband.
You know,
you got a fighter.
I lost three of them.
He has a legitimate job.
I lost three. And I lost three. Sadly, and I love my husband. He is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. But if something were to happen to him, I always thought that Charles Campbell, Zenyatta's broodmare manager, would be mine. And he got married over the weekend.
Oh, geez, so, you have lost three. There's nobody
George
left
Clooney.
For you.
I guess I'm stuck with Chad.
Yeah.
Oh, thank God. Thank God he puts up with me. But, yes, Charles Campbell, congratulations. He got married. I'm a little, like, I wore a black armband all weekend for George.
Zenyatta's
going to
be jealous. Zenyatta's going to be jealous of that. You know?
I know. And he married a vet. So,
if you're going to marry somebody, a vet's a good one to marry, though.
Might as well.
All right, let's do
vet.
This. Let's head to our next guest. We have a listener on with us. You know how last week we had one of our listeners reporting in from New York City about the New York show, the Central Park horse show that went on down there, and she gave us the whole flavor of everything. Well, L.A. didn't want to be left out in the cold, so Los Angeles had the Longines Los Angeles Masters Grand Slam held in downtown Los Angeles this past weekend, and we wanted to hear all about that, and one of our listeners contacted me. Her name is Susan Friedland-Smith. She's also a blogger, and she's a columnist for Sidelines Magazine. And she's been up to some fun things out there in California, and she's checking in. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning. How are you, Glenn?
Good. Thank you so much for getting up so damn early.
Oh, no problem. I have to admit, when my alarm went off, I just sat there for a moment and thought, okay, I can do this. So I've got my pumpkin spice latte, so I'm ready to go.
I hope you sat there for a moment and said, "I volunteered for this. It was my fault, not my fault, your fault."
You know what? It didn't occur to me because it is such an honor to be here. So I was excited about it, but it took me a while, you know, to kind of get going.
Okay. It happens to Jamie every morning. What are you talking about?
I'm not even awake yet. I'm not even here.
So now tell us about this show. It was the Longines LA Masters Grand Slam. Was it a lot like the New York show in format? What did they do?
Well, I haven't been to a horse show in New York. I have in Florida. I have family in Florida, but it's been many years since I've been to one of the big shows down there. But I've never seen anything quite like it. I mean, I think the fact that it was so close to Hollywood, it was just well staged. It was beautiful. The last time I'd been to the convention center was just a few months ago for my stepdaughter's club volleyball tournament. And I had no idea they could transform that space into such a world-class horse show. I assume you've seen pictures online of the shopping area and the beautiful warm-up ring that was in the middle of the shopping area. I walked over, saw the footing in there, and almost cried when I got there the first day. It was just everything's pristine. It was so beautiful. It was. I'm still trying to process it all, quite honestly.
Now, did you see or did you get to see a lot of it? I know they had several classes, right? They had the Grand Slams and the jumpers doing their thing, but they also had a celebrity class where my girlfriend Kaylee Cuoco was involved.
I didn't know she was your girlfriend.
Yes, I have her on my
Instagram. Yeah.
George Clooney's my boyfriend. Just like George Clooney and Leo are my boyfriend. That's his girlfriend.
Well, that's right.
Yeah, I know you're a little sad about the George Clooney thing, but I have some hope for you, and that is that some of these young male writers are quite handsome. So, and so the names, like Harry Smulders and Constance Von Passion. I mean, it's very soap
Constance
opera.
Constance Von Passion?
I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. But, yes.
And if you aren't, who cares?
Yeah, exactly. It still sounds good, and you'll have to Google and see pictures. But, so where
Constance
were we? You're talking about
Passion.
I know. So Glenn was asking about his friend. Yeah, the amazing class, one of the most fun parts was the charity class, where a pro writer and an amateur writer teamed up, and they had on themed costumes and kind of blazed around the course in a relay, and it was just hilarious. I mean, the whole night. I'm assuming you've seen the pictures of Rodrigo Pessoa with the Katy Perry bra.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, that was really something. I bumped into an Irish reporter in the press room, and she said, I just can't get over it. I can't get over it. She was, I guess, in the room next door where they were having the food catered. And she said he was just sitting there apparently, I don't know, eating or something, wearing that. And she said, I just couldn't take him seriously. It was a whole paradigm shift for her. But, that was a great class, a lot of fun.
Well, now, Andre Agassi was there because apparently it was one of his foundations that they were fundraising for. Is that right?
Yes, Andre and Steffi were there. And I love horses and I love tennis, too. So that was really a thrill to be at the red carpet and to see those two come by. And so they were there.
Andre, by the way, still looks really good. I mean, and Steffi Graf both.
Yeah, she was so elegant and... Yeah, they seemed like they were having a wonderful time, too. Yeah, there were a number of celebrities there. I was kind of thinking there would be because of the location, obviously, proximity to Los Angeles or Hollywood. But Bruce Springsteen walked past. Obviously, his daughter was competing. And I got to have a nice little conversation with someone, Jamie, probably. Jamie, you watched the HBO show Luck?
I did watch it, yes, I did.
Okay. So I don't have HBO. I know of the show, but is it Carrie? Oh, shoot. I'm going to fail on the last name. Condon, the Irish actress, she came by, and she was delightful. And she is a horse girl, you could tell, because I asked her what she liked most about her horses, and she said just being around them. She loved to go down and pick out the stalls on Sundays because, you know, that's the day the barn help has off. So she was talking about grooming them, and it's so therapeutic, and so we bonded over that moment.
You know, I could say something about that. I really wish that more of the horse people that were associated with that TV show would have spoken up. I met a vet tech. There's a vet tech here in Arizona that really should have spoken up when they saw what they were doing to the horses, just running them over and over and over again. And, you know, in that kind of situation, you can't say anything, and I'm sure she feels terrible, but it sucks that she finally lands a TV show and then it gets canceled after like 4 episodes.
Yeah.
Sorry. Side
no,
note.
That's right.
What exactly were you what were you doing there? You said you were on the red carpet. Were you reporting? Were you just stalking?
Yes.
Like what I would do is stalk people?
Yeah, a little bit of both, I'll be honest. So I have recently begun writing for Sidelines Magazine, and so I had the opportunity to go on a press pass. And so when I got the email from my editor that said that, you know, we were granted the credentials, there was a list of all the activities, and then there were 2 red carpet events. And I emailed her back, and I said, what's the red carpet at a horse show? Like, bringing out the horses? Right, I didn't
we
you know
boots and breeches.
Exactly. You know, I thought they would be parading around so you could see the horses close up or something. I didn't know. But no, because of the nature of the event, and it is you know, it's like an international event. There are people speaking all different languages around. They really, it was a big production. So they did have a red carpet that was there the entire weekend. And so Thursday night they had kind of the gala. And so the writers came through and then some of the celebrities came through. And then they had the Thursday night. That was kind of it, I believe. I was only there for the red carpet Thursday night, and then I was able to take in the jumping and the classes Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
So you know, it's good if the word gala or gala is part of your trip. I mean, it's going to be good.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
It's awesome.
I was reading some of the other celebrities that were there, too. You had Angelica Houston, James Caan, Robert Johnson, Bruce Springsteen, and the list just went on and on and on.
Oh, yes. And they, you know, it was interesting because I think some of them were trying to keep a low profile because...
they don't want to be seen at a horse show?
Well, I don't know. But the way the arena was set up, so, like, the side that I was on was where, like, the fans were, and then across the arena on the other side was where the boxes were. So I'm assuming I didn't necessarily rub shoulders with the likes of the people you mentioned because they were sitting on the other side.
Yeah, they had their own bar they went to. You didn't go to their bar, that's for sure.
No.
I do have a question for you, though.
Oh, yeah.
You mentioned
the
shopping, and I imagine there weren't a lot of $12 halters. This was a little bit higher-end shopping than we're used to normally?
Yes, like so high-end that I didn't really want to ask the price. there was a beautiful art gallery there, and to the owner, she was French, and what floored me was just the fact of, like, bringing over multiple works of art, you know. And I asked them, thinking, did they load these up on an airplane? So I said, well, how did you get your art here? And she said, oh, you know, by ship. So it had come from the Hong Kong horse show last. And so I said, well, then do you pack it up with bubble wrap when you're done? Well, you know, so she said, you know, a company does that. But the art was phenomenal. They had a sculpture of a Formula One race car engine that was kind of the face of a horse. And I couldn't bear to ask the price tag on that, but I'm sure it was more than I could afford, definitely. But and then they had a, I don't know if you saw that picture of the horse statue made out of coat hangers, 3,000 coat hangers, enormous rearing horse. Yeah. So kind of funny, the first night I was standing there kind of looking at it because it's so large and just pretty awesome. And this gray-haired gentleman wandered past me and made a comment with a French accent, you know, oh, the beautiful horse. And I said something stupid like, oh, but I would hate to ride that horse because the coat hanger's poking out. And then I realized later he was on the French team. I didn't know he was a rider. And I believe it was Roger Yves Boast or something. I don't know. I don't speak French. So, and that was funny too, because a couple times I turned to people next to me to, you know, make a little comment or something, and they responded to me in French. And I thought, oh.
You were that girl. That's awesome.
Well, this sounded like a great time. There's a lot of articles. If you just look it up, you'll find a lot of articles with tons of pictures. But you had a ton of pictures on your blog, and I'll give that out right now. It's SusanFriedlandSmith.com. And Jennifer will post it on our Facebook page because you had some great pictures on there of all the celebrities and everything. So you think this was a big enough hit that they'll do it again?
Well, that's what I was trying to figure out. Some of the people I spoke to said that there was a five-year commitment, but then some other people said, you know, it's a five-year commitment, but they're kind of waiting to see how it goes. But the overall sentiment was that it was well-run, the riders enjoyed it. The one aspect that I thought was really neat was that because the warm-up arena was, like, right there, in the heart of everything, you could stand on the other side of the fence from the likes of Kent Farrington or, you know, Laura Kraut or any of the riders, really. It wasn't like there was a warm-up ring way off somewhere and then you were, like, in the shop area or, you know, watching in the stands. It was, everything was very close. Richard Spooner walked past, and Sophie St. Clair, who is a junior writer, and she also writes for Sidelines, and I were having our picture taken together. Her dad was taking a picture of us, and so I was kind of like, get Richard, get Richard. So her dad turned around and got Richard Spooner to come take a picture with us. So it was really cool. I was just a few feet from BZ Madden, and it was one of those things where it's like, oh, I don't want to. She was at the rail, kind of, I didn't know if she had a rider in the arena she was watching, so I don't know. I have that moment where it's like, I don't want to disturb someone if they're, you know, this is their job. But on the other hand, it would be sort of fun to take a picture with them. So I was too shy. I didn't get my picture with
you. You had
that so
girl
cool,
moment.
Though.
Yep.
Yeah, but to be the girl who's super excited and, you know, Richard
yep.
Spooner, to be able to call him over and do it, that's awesome. And I've been that girl. And I think people appreciate somebody who's in the media who's genuinely excited to be there. It's a breath of fresh air, I think. So I'm glad you got to go. I'm sad that it was the same weekend, because I think there would have been a lot more celebrities that were there had they all not been in Venice for George's wedding. You missed out on, you know, Matt Damon, Ellen Barkin, Emily Blunt, John Krasinski, Bono could have been there,
Bono.
But he wasn't because he was busy. He was busy, and yeah, unfortunately, he was in Venice for some small wedding. But otherwise, there would have been a lot more celebrities. Now, I did hear, Susan, that you are thinking about purchasing an off-the-track thoroughbred and retraining it yourself.
The deed is done.
You did?
Yeah.
Yay!
Yeah.
Tell us about him or her.
Okay. Well, I might start to cry because this has been a long journey for me. My previous horse I had was also a thoroughbred, and I had him 16 years, and he sadly colicked at the age of 23 very unexpectedly. So I've been horseless for the last 4 years, got married and moved and just kind of a lifestyle change. So I have been kind of out of horses for the last few years. So long story short, my day job, I'm a teacher. So this past summer, I've been horse shopping, and it's just totally like dating. Very
yeah.
frustrating, you know. So I've been blogging about this whole experience. But all that to say, of course, right as school starts and everything is really just crazy, I'm writing the column and, you know, commuting. By the way, my school's 2 miles from Santa Anita Racetrack. I find a friend says, hey, you need to call the name of this place that, you know, I hear that they have some, you know, OTTBs. So I gave them a call and said kind of what I was looking for. I just want a horse to have fun, get back into it, do a little jumping, maybe learn some dressage, et cetera, et cetera. And the woman sends me an email of this gorgeous dark day, 16-3 thoroughbred with a beautiful blaze. And when I saw it, he looked so much like my previous horse that I like got all choked up when I saw it. And I said, I can't have this horse. You know, I need to go chestnut. I need to go gray, something. And then I thought, well, that's really close-minded. So went, visited him, sat in the saddle, and it was like I just knew. Rode him around. He was smooth. And I was kind of thinking, because my last thoroughbred was kind of a hothead. I loved him, great personality, a lot of heart, but he was so spooky and flighty and
unpredictable. Jamie doesn't know anything about that.
Never heard
Edward?
Of it.
I heard about your experience in California a few weekends ago. That was pretty funny. But all that to say, I got in the saddle. He was super mellow, was awesome. And then as I'm researching him later, like, okay, what's the deal with this? Victor Espinosa rode him in several races.
Oh,
crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And
that's
his,
so cool.
I know, and his sire, okay, I'm not as much into racing. You know, I kind of follow the Kentucky Derby. But his sire won the Breeders' Cup twice. Tisnow? Am I saying it right?
Tisnow.
Yeah.
He won the Classic twice, not just any Breeders' Cup race. And I believe that was like 2000 maybe, or in 2001, was when Tisnow won it twice back-to-back, which has never been done again. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I had no idea. I'm like, oh, it's a pretty bay thoroughbred. So anyway, he came in. He was delivered Friday while I was at the horse show, and I'm dying, but I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm going to hopefully have him 20 years. You know, this is a once-in-a-lifetime event, or, you know, if the show comes back next year, an annual thing. So, but I went to see him last night after I got home from the show, And he was eating his hay, and he looked very happy. And so I thought, well, I'm just going to walk him around the property. And I walked him around, and as we exited the stall, the cute chestnut mare next door kind of nickered to him. And we walked around. I have two dogs. I have a Doberman and a Golden Retriever. This thoroughbred walks better than my two dogs.
Oh, my gosh.
Trained, so quiet, I could not get over it. So I brought him back into the stall. The mare nickered at him again, and he nickered back. So he's got a girlfriend already, so I think he's going to be a good part of the family.
Oh, what's the name?
Oh, so his name is Tiz a Knight, and then we call him Knight, like Knight in Shining Armor. And so we call him Knight.
That's so cool. Congratulations.
Thank
we'll please post a picture of him on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page so we can see him. I want to meet him. Tiznell is beautiful, too. He's, I mean, like you said, dark bay with a blaze. So gorgeous horse. I think he's at Windstar is where he stands.
That sounds right.
I was a big fan of his. So that's cool.
Oh, cool.
And then the one other thing real quick. We only have a minute or two, but I got to hear about this trail ride by the Hollywood sign. What's up with that?
Oh, okay. So totally cool. Yeah. Sunset Ranch. If you go to California and you like trail rides, you've got to go to Sunset Ranch. And it's amazing because literally it feels like you're in the Old West. I had no idea. I've lived here many, many years. And it is like cowboys and like the tumbleweed going by. Not literally, but it's just a phenomenal escape from the hubbub of the city. And then you get to see the Hollywood sign. You have an aerial view. On a clear day, you can see Catalina Island, the Griffith Observatory. I think we even saw the Hollywood Bowl. So it's just a really neat way to kind of get a different perspective for, you know, the famous Hollywood landmarks. So a definite fun thing to try out.
It's really cool. Sunset Ranch Hollywood. I Googled it while you were talking. SunsetRanchHollywood.com. That's really, really neat. I go to L.A. a lot because I have family there. So I'll have to take them. This would be really
fun. Yeah. Yeah. And so I have an article about it in Sidelines, the October issue, and it kind of talks about what it was like going on the trail ride.
I will let you know that I could not find Constance de Passion or whatever his name was. I couldn't find him on Google.
Okay, well, it's not Passion, P-A-S-S-I-O-N. Okay.
What was his name again?
Okay, Constant, like C-O-N-S-T-A-N-T, and then Van, V-A-N, and then it's P-A-E-S-S-C-H-E-N, and he's from Belgium.
Okay, I was way off.
Should be why you
Oh, here he is. Okay, there we go.
Excellent.
Yeah, he's a cutie. I can't. He's too young for me to even. I can't. He's too young and too cute. That's a great name, Constance von Passion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I wanted to say, too, that you can find Sidelines magazine. Is it sidelinesnews.com?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And your blog's on there as well?
Or you're honestly
a contributor.
I don't.
Yep.
Well, it's been one of those things. My blog is going to be linked in there, but the best way to find my blog is just, it's called Saddle Seeks Horse or SusanFriedlandSmith.com. And eventually
it's
going to be
Saddle
linked
Seeks
in.
Horse.
Yeah, I think I have to change the name now because I already, you know, I bought a brand new saddle and then my horse died. So I've had this basically brand new saddle for years, and so now I have a horse again. But so I might have to change the name of the blog because I have
now
a horse.
You just change it to Saddle Finds Horse,
or maybe Saddle
then you're good to
horse.
Go. Or
yeah,
Saddle
great.
Meets Horse. Yeah. Either way, works.
So what's going to happen? Listen, honestly, is you're going to put that saddle on him and it's not going to fit, so he's going to be horse saddle.
Exactly.
That's what's going to happen. It always does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, Susan, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you being here, giving us the report on all things California and Hollywood.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure.
All right. We'd love to have you back. So next time you attend something fun there and meet celebrities, let us know because we like to virtually celebrity stalk too. So
Good. I'm not alone.
Okay. No, you're not.
No. No.
Excellent. Okay.
Thank you, Susan.
Great. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, it was New York City last weekend, and now Los Angeles this weekend. Where are we going next weekend?
Glenn, what's this this makes me realize that we have, as horses in the morning, we have our finger on the pulse of the celebrity lifestyle. We are on it.
Yes, we do. Actually, you're right. You're right. Why can't we get more of them to come on the show? Why hasn't Kaylee Cuoco been on the show yet, Jennifer? Just saying. Just asking.
Whatever. I got the guy from the Budweiser commercial. How come you can't get any Carrie Underwood or something?
I did see on her blog that one of the people from The Voice was there, and let me see who this was. Because you watched The Voice, right? Yeah, that's
religiously, who was it?
It was fans of The Voice were thrilled to see and hear Judith Hill.
Ah, she's awesome. She was my pick to win. It was like 3 seasons ago, Judith Hill,
oh, really?
But she did not win. She used to be a backup singer for Michael Jackson.
Oh, cool. Very good. Well, that's
on
it for,
I
good
need to
for
stop.
Today, everybody.
Okay,
tomorrow, I think we have a recorded show for you because it's kind of an odd, it's like the fifth Tuesday of the month. So we have a recorded show tomorrow, right, Jennifer?
That is right.
Okay.
A best of. It's not a recorded show. It is a best of. We are going to relive one of my favorite laugh fests from previously aired Horses in the Morning shows.
That means it was embarrassing for Jamie. That means it says it that way. You know how you read between the lines, Jamie?
It.
So that's
yeah. If that was a horse ad, that would be embarrassing for Jamie. So
yes, exactly.
I will not be listening at all. Just let me know how it goes.
Well, we will be back here on Wednesday morning, so feel free to join us then. And, of course, we'll have celebrity trivia and all of that going on Wednesday morning. Thank you, everybody. We appreciate you being here. We hope you enjoyed the show. And check out all the other shows on the Horse Radio Network. Just get the app, iOS or Android. Go to the App Store and search for Horse Radio Network. It's free and it's easy to use. All right, Jamie, you take care. Be careful today. I'm not driving my pony. So.
I'm still too sore to even ride, so I will have my feet on the ground and I will be petting the horses and I'll turn them out.
All right.
Stay there,
see you, Jamie.
Glad you're okay, Glenn.